Appeal number 063273, United States v. Franco Fernandez. And our friend Mr. McGowan is here.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Defender's Office from the Central District of Illinois, and I represent Mr. Franco Fernandez in this case. The question in this case is whether Mr. Franco Fernandez's prior conviction for child abduction qualifies for an additional 16 offense levels, 8 offense levels, or 4 offense levels. To qualify for the 16 levels, it would have to be either a listed offense or one that has as an element the use, the attempted use, or threatened use of physical force. It has neither one of those, so it doesn't qualify for the 16 offense levels. It's not a listed offense. The government's arguing that it's like kidnapping, so it should qualify for that on that basis, but even if this court were to consider it like kidnapping, there's no cases that support taking an offense and renaming it under these analyses.
And so I know you've addressed this in your brief, but just what do you see are the differences between Illinois' definition of kidnapping and the definition of child abduction? I mean, you've spoken to that, but...
Well, I think the main one is that there's a defense to kidnapping, and that's that the kidnapper is a parent. I mean, I just think that's a killer. The other problem with the whole analysis is that this would turn a lot of sentencings on their head. If you were able to take what actually happened in an offense and rename it, even though it was named, say, child abduction, and rename it to kidnapping, that would change the analysis in career offender cases, in armed career criminal cases, and at least in this case, in illegal reentry cases, when you're trying to determine whether the 16 offense levels applies. Finally, the statute or the guideline section doesn't really read that way. It's got an alternative. If it's not one of the listed offenses, then it might be qualified under the use of force analysis. So you've got an alternative. There's no reason to try to pigeonhole an offense that's got a different name into an offense that does have a name. And those would be the main differences that I'd see.
So then if we decide that the form of child abduction involved here is not a crime of violence, that would require a remand at the very least, wouldn't it?
It would.
And then should we also address the aggravated felony aspect of it? I mean, you alluded to it when you were dealing with the 8 points versus the 16 points, yeah.
And they both involve definitions for crime of violence. I think the court has two options here. The court could just remand if the court agrees about the 16 offense levels and for a rehearing. On the other hand, the question of whether it acquires an 8 level under aggravated felony, and in this case it would be not a crime of violence, is a question of law. Now, this is an area of the law that's way up in the air as far as I'm concerned. In terms of cases, it seems like every case has a different analysis about whether it applies or not. And of course, we have a new Supreme Court case that's under similar analysis, but it's not the same. And this court, in recent cases, has indicated that it'd like more information than is usual in records of this sort. And this record's included in that. So remanding for a resentencing with or without some instructions is one option. But this court could also remand with instructions about what it would expect to see in a more fully developed record on the 8 levels. But finally, I believe this court could, on this record, make the determination that the 8 levels isn't appropriate under these circumstances. I mean, the government's
argument... It is or is not, I'm sorry.
It is not, I'm sorry. The government's argument that it is relies on a different analysis under the Illinois law for illegal detention. And, of course, the offense in this case, the child abduction, the elements include that the putative father conceals, detains, or removes the child without consent of the mother. And so it's not just limited to detaining. It can include conceals or removes. And this court has also distinguished the Illinois law against Illinois illegal detentions with the Indiana statute, which is a broader kind of statute. And, of course, this case is about a father being with his child. And so a lot of the concerns about illegal detention, including the fact that there's probably perfectly strangers involved, that there may be adults who are able to try to escape or to resist the detention in the first place. Those are part of the detention statute, but they wouldn't be part of this child abduction analysis. Your Honor, the only case that even discusses this is the Martinez-Jimenez case, but that's a child abduction section that's different than the section in this case, and it does involve a non-parent enticing a child to a vehicle, which is completely different than the kind of offense that's involved in this case. And I believe that that case isn't binding on this court for that reason. Unless there are any other questions, that's all I had to say. Thank you. But I'd like to reserve the rest of my time in case my opponent says something that I object to. Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. McGowan. My name is Daniel May from the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois. When this case was presented to Judge Holderman for sentencing, the PSI determined that the crime that the defendant had been convicted of in January of 2005, child abduction, was a crime of violence analogous to kidnapping under the Illinois statute. Taking a look at the Article 10 of the Illinois Code, kidnapping and related offenses is the terminology that is used by the Illinois statute. Underneath that terminology, kidnapping and related statutes, are several offenses, including kidnapping, aggravated kidnapping, unlawful restraint, and child abduction. It was the position of the government before Judge Holderman in making his determination that this was in fact a 16-point enhancement, that kidnapping and child abduction are basically the same offense. Child abduction is a subspecies. If this court were to look at the elements of the kidnapping statute in Illinois, which is 5/10-1, two of the subsections specifically state, and secretly confines another against his will, which is subsection A1, and subsection A3 states that by deceit or enticement induces another to go from one place to another with an intent to secretly confine that person against his will. This was a 10-month-old baby that was taken by the defendant without the consent of the mother at the time in 2003.
Was there a finding at that time that he was the father?
Judge, there was no determination by a court at that time. And the statute specifically states under the child abduction statute that it's a putative father with no prior finding by a court that he is in fact the father. He admitted at his sentencing that he was in fact the father, but there was no determination in the state conviction that he was in fact the father. But it makes practical sense that it was, because he was charged under that subsection of the child abduction A3, which is somebody conceals or detains or removes a child, and he is the punitive father, and he does not have the consent of the legal guardian or the mother in this case. So, Your Honors, we had based our argument, and I think it still holds, that child abduction is a subspecies or a different variation of kidnapping.
But don't we distinguish, and haven't we distinguished, in the states in our circuit have distinguished between interference with child custody rights and kidnapping? Shouldn't we still make that distinction?
Judge,
and particularly here where the defendant pled guilty to child abduction, not kidnapping. Well, you know, why is it fair to treat him as though he pled guilty to kidnapping? There are different elements, aren't there, between kidnapping and child abduction?
Of course, Judge, there are in the sense, but there are they are very analogous, and whatever decision the state legislature made in Illinois to differentiate between the two, I think it's still under the sentencing guidelines. It says kidnapping, and I believe that this is closely analogous to a kidnapping conviction. The only difference in the two was the fact that he was the father without a court having found that he was the father. He took the child without the consent of the legal guardian. He concealed the taking of the child, And the child was certainly under the age of 13, and so it was against the will of the child, and you can't presume that the child consented in the case.
Well, doesn't equating child abduction with kidnapping allow the government to avoid showing or proving that child abduction has force or violence as an element?
Well, Judge, there is no specific articulation in the child abduction that there is that specific element that be shown. But neither is there one in the kidnapping statute, which is 5/10-1. There are two of the ones are the individual is secretly confined against his will, and the other one is A3, by deceit or enticement induces another from one place to another. Those I think are very closely analogous to the child abduction and the elements of that. And again, there is nothing there that states that you have to show that there is a threat or threatened use of force against the individual, especially when they're a child. In addition, judges, before the district court, and Mr. Moynihan briefly addressed this, was the fact that if the court did not find that it was a 16-point enhancement or a crime of violence, that it was certainly an aggravated felony. It was an aggravated felony because there was a potential for injury or a substantial risk of injury to the child in this case. We brought to the court's attention below and to this court in our brief this court's findings that the mere failure to report back for work release presents the potential for a violent confrontation. And I think this court has quoted and has said that in that particular circumstance, in the Franklin case, there are supercharged emotions. And in the Bryant case, it stated that every escape is a powder keg which may explode at any time. That is, we believe, analogous here. There's no requirement in those statutes for a threat of force or a mere speculation of force. It may occur. In this situation, again, we believe that there is a central or a serious potential for injury to the child.
And if we agreed with that theory versus equating kidnapping with abduction, then there would be the 8-point enhancement. That would be a matter of law and no reason to remand.
That is, well, he was sentenced to a 70.
Right, I mean, it'd have to be resentenced.
Correct.
I mean, we could make that finding as a matter of law.
Yes, Judge. So for that reason, that if this court is not to find that it is a crime of violence under that particular sentencing guideline, we ask that it be found as an aggravated felony, as there is a potential for a serious injury to the child in this particular type of situation. If there are no further questions, I'll rest on the remainder of my brief.
Mr. McGough. Let me just ask you a question. You know, we get these cases where we're trying to decide what the proper characterization is of a prior offense, and is it 16 points, is it 8, is it neither, or what. But under a guide, now an advisory guideline system, and we know we require the district judge to accurately determine what the guideline range is. But once that's done, even though you think it's wrong, as you do here, I would expect that there's an argument made to the judge that, look, you've got a 16-point enhancement here for child abduction, which sounds like a horrific crime if it's a dirty old man in a car trying to lure kindergarten kids in the back seat of his automobile, or a child custody matter where some parent, non-custodial parent, takes a kid and doesn't bring him back or something. You know, technically, it's a violation of the same law. So in a situation like that, don't lawyers argue to the district judge, look, here's what this this guideline range is artificially high because of this characterization we've put on this offense, and there should be a gigantic reduction because this offense just isn't that serious. You know, we have to give it that name, child abduction, but it really isn't like it seems. So how do you handle that in the district court?
Well, Your Honor, I would make the very strong argument. I don't remember the transcript in this case recommending that sort of argument.
See, I haven't read the transcript.
With that sort of strength, because that's certainly what my impression was. It's like, okay, well, you lose that, you go on to the guideline calculations. But unfortunately, as this court is well aware, one of the problems that we're facing as trial counsel is that the district court is really putting a lot of emphasis on where the guideline range comes out. And, you know, there are cases across the country, up and down, about, you know, how much evidence you have to establish to justify a really substantial reduction from the guideline range. And I don't know that judges are running scared or anything, but, I mean, we're seeing more guideline range sentences now than ever before.
Yeah, well, a lot of judges like the guidelines, and a lot of them don't. And, I mean, I had the luxury of being a district judge long before the guidelines came in. And I liked it, partly because you couldn't appeal any sentence. Never had to worry about getting reversed. Nasty Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. But we just spend so much time on these kind of issues, and I mean, you've got a very good argument you make here for that, you know, maybe it should be an 8 or maybe it shouldn't be anything, but the judge, if he wants to, I think should have pretty wide discretion to really go down in a case where the name of the crime is not really descriptive of the underlying criminal activity.
I agree, and one of the other problems that we're running into is that looking for language from cases from this court that would justify it to a district court judge. It's like, judge, look.
Well, we did. I just talked about the escape case. We did talk about that. Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed to be unfair to characterize a failure to report back to a jail as escape. You know, it's not Steve McQueen jumping on his motorcycle and taking off in the Great Escape or something. It's somebody not reporting at 6 o'clock at the end of a work release or something like that. Anyway, that's a bigger problem than I guess we can deal with.
In this case, we're talking about 8 and 16 levels, too. In a lot of cases, we're talking about 2, and it's a little more complicated.
Well,
thank you
for both
much.
Sides. Excellent arguments, and we'll take the case under advisement.